manufacturers, educators.
Sorry about that. I forgot.
That's okay. So our membership consists of, you know, people from diverse backgrounds, including therapists, researchers, suppliers, manufacturers, educators, and anybody who's interested, you know, in assistive technology for people with disabilities. ResNet has an annual conference, which I'm sure and I hope you've attended at some point. It's typically held in June of each year. And for 2012, the conference will be in Baltimore at the Baltimore Marriott Waterfront. The call for papers and proposals now open. The half-day and full-day instructional course proposals, those are due December 5th. And the 75-minute workshop proposals, they're also due on that date. The scientific papers, including the student scientific papers, are due on January 16th. And many of the papers that are not accepted, the scientific papers that are not accepted for platform sessions, they get put into another pool, which is for poster presentations. And so we have an opportunity for people to come by and look at posters and have the authors present there so that they can talk about and describe their papers. So I would encourage you, if you are interested, to submit a paper to be presented at the conference coming up in Baltimore. Baltimore is a fantastic city. It's family-friendly. Lots of things to do there besides, you know, the conference. There's, you know, some social activities going, you know, that you can take advantage of. There's also the professional, you know, baseball team, the Orioles, that hopefully we'll be playing while we're there. And we're also going to try to organize some tours for people to take advantage and see some of the other work that's going on in the area of assistive technology, you know, in Maryland. We also have a network of individuals who get together to share and exchange ideas via our special interest groups and professional specialty groups. And the SIGs, they're organized around specific topic areas such as like job accommodation, service delivery and policy, communications and access, wheel mobility. And Steve's very active in the job accommodation SIG. And this is where you find a lot of, you know, solutions for you know, employment or, you know, on-the-job kinds of things. There's also an international group that assists others in other countries for individuals with disabilities in other countries to get access to technology. The professional specialty groups, they are organized around professions like rehab engineers, educators, physical therapists, and the like. We have about six of those groups. All of these groups are SIGs and professional specialty groups. They have tools such as social networking, you know, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, or even a community presence right on the website, the ResNet website, that they, you know, are able to get together and share and exchange information. They do a lot of problem solving, but you need to be a member of ResNet to participate in these online communities. But there is an open listserv, which is the AT forum, and this is open to ResNet members as well as non-members. And this is a very robust listserv. It provides a wealth of, you know, really good information about technology uses and applications. So if you're not on that listserv, I would suggest you get on. You might not be interested in everything that is out there, but I'm sure that there's going to be something at some point that, you know, will be useful to you. ResNet serves also as the national technical assistance provider to the Assistive Technology Act programs funded under the Assistive Technology Act. And these programs include like 56 statewide AT programs. You know, there's one in each state and U.S. territories. There are the 33 alternative financing programs, and then 56 protection and advocacy programs that are located in states, and there's also one on the Indian territories. There's also technical assistance that's provided to 19 telework programs that provide loans to individuals to be able to work remotely. Now, the telework program is not funded under the Assistive Technology Act. This was an initiative that came out of the President's New Freedom, President Bush's New Freedom Plan. But RESNA's involved in providing the technical assistance for all of those programs. The Technical and Professional Standards Boards, they are, two of our professional areas in which we are trying to develop and professionalize the field. The Technical Standards Board are more concerned with the development of, wheelchair standards, adaptive sports equipment, and now they're getting into some technologies to address cognitive issues. And we have, various committees that work on those kinds of standards and standards development. RESNA is an approved ANSI accrediting body, and we work in conjunction with the ISO, the International Standards Organization. The RESNA professional standards, of course, provide our ATP, RET, and SMS designations. Those are the three, designations that we currently have. The assistive technology professional is the first and is the primary certification that we have, and Sandra just completed hers, and Steve has his already, and so we hope that there will be others in this group that will be able to get their designation as well. The RET, which is Rehab Engineering Technologist designation, is currently on hold. We do have individuals with that designation now. We are trying to determine how we're going to go about updating that particular credential. The SMS, which is our new kid on the block, is the Seating and Mobility Specialty Exam, and it was just launched back in 2010, the beginning of 2010. And we have probably over about 50 individuals that have taken that test, taken the exam and passed. We probably have almost as many that have taken it and have not passed it. But you, in order to take this particular exam, you will need to also have gotten your ATP. I'm sure questions that you might have, and I will try to answer those. We do have two individuals assigned here in the office to work just solely on certification. Anjali Weber, who was the director of certification here at RESNA, resigned, and we are in the process of filling that position. And then Stacy Singleton is the certification coordinator, and Stacy does all the processing of the applications that come in. She answers a lot of questions, everything from the education that you need, the eligibility criteria, some resources to use to study for the exam, everything from, how do I go about, taking the exam, which is all computer-based today. Once we receive the application, you've been deemed eligible to take the exam, then you get a letter from Prometrics, which is a testing service that we use, and they will provide you with information about how to go about setting up your exam in your local area. There are testing sites that are pretty close to folk in their states and localities, and so they would be making arrangements with those local testing sites to go in and take their exam. The cost, hasn't gone up. It still is $500 to take the first ATP exam, and then after that, if you don't pass it, you can retake it, but you have to wait 90 days, and that cost is $250. Now, we've had recently, and maybe it's tied to the economy or people losing jobs and not working in the field, And people in those situations can put their certification on hold. They pay a $25 processing fee and request that their certification be on hold. And what that does is it doesn't let your certification lapse. It's just, you know, when you get ready to come back into the field and you want to reactivate your certification, you will need to, you know, inform the RESNA and let them know. And then you pay your recertification fee, but you also have to provide evidence of your keeping current in the field by providing, you know, CEU credits. So I think this is a good segue for Sarah to come in and talk about her experience. And if you have any questions about certification, I'll try to answer. And if not, I will make sure that you get your answers. You get the answer. I can just run down the hall and ask Stacy.
Thanks, Nell. This is Sandra. And I think Sarah is my evil twin that presents herself every now and then.
Oh,
that's okay. I'm the youngest of four children, so I'm used to getting called, you know, whatever, besides my name. As Nell and Steve had said, that I just recently, actually September 1st, passed the certification for the ATP. I guess it's been about 3 years in the works, to be real honest. I first was hired with the Oklahoma Able Tech, which is the Tech Act for Oklahoma, as an assistive technology specialist. And that's when it was really first brought on my radar that the certification would be available and the credentialing and the steps to go through it. For those of you that haven't been to the website, RESNA.org, very informative, very helpful. You can click on a certification, and it comes down to, you know, what is certification, becoming ATP certified. Nell had mentioned the Seating Mobility Specialist certification, the SMS. It goes through renewing, ethnics, the directory, marketing, promoting, very user-friendly. But if you click on the certification and, you know, becoming ATP certified, there's a wealth of information on exam outline that kind of gives you an idea of categories, I guess, that that the exam will cover. There's assessments of need, and then that's about 27% development of intervention strategies, implementing the interventions once they're funded, evaluation, professional conduct. There's 22 standards that are listed. It just goes through kind of step by step of what's going to kind of be covered in general on the exam. The eligibility requirements, and I think sometimes that gets, or maybe it was just me that was a little bit confusing for, but Stacy Singleton that Nell had mentioned earlier, I think I spent quite a bit of time on the phone calling her, and she was really very helpful to come through. And, you know, this is, you know, my bachelor's is in special education, and so that kind of would weigh a little bit differently than, you know, a degree or some a bachelor's that may be in a different area. But it's pretty well clear that you can kind of go through and how much time you have, I guess, experience in what capacities you've worked as in assistive technology in your employment. So once you kind of, we have, I think, two ladies here that are still, they're relatively new, but then once they have enough work experience in assistive technology, that they will also be sitting for the exam. Eligibility requirements, the exam application, all of those are really pretty standard and straightforward. Really, I think it's kind of daunting that, oh, this big exam, and it's, you know, they give you 4 hours and 200 questions. And I think once you kind of settle down, and the study guides kind of helped me have some, I guess it was a security in, you know, I've done this, I've passed the pretest, and there's flashcards that that you can purchase. And I cannot endorse one over the other, but I would say the online courses were very helpful to me as well. My personal one, I did the U.S. Rehab online. What I really liked about that is you can come in and you can do your work. It's like for 6 months that you can kind of have this online class. you can do it at midnight if you needed, you know, or wherever you wanted to work from. You log in and it's just available to you for up to 6 months. The content that they cover, consumerism, the anatomy, impairment, service, funding, engineering, biomechanics, there's application settings and transport. In general, it's this real similar to the exam outline that is on the ResNA website. So you can go through, and at the end of those sessions, there are post-tests, so you can kind of check yourself. If you've got the answer right, then you did a good job in paying attention and reading and studying. And if not, then you can obviously go back and kind of revisit the materials for that section. Is everybody still with me?
Yep.
I talk really fast, like I said, youngest of four kids. Do you guys have any questions so far? Any specific?
Did you take the fundamentals course, Sandra?
Yes, sir, I did. And I took it when ResNA was in Las Vegas, the conference that was in Las Vegas. Was that 2 years ago? 1 year ago?
It was 2010.
Okay, so last year's conference, I did the pre-fundamentals course, and that was very helpful as well. Thank you for reminding me of that, Steve. In fact, that was one of the first things that I did was take that fundamentals course and then kind of realize what areas that I needed to kind of focus on. I think we all have strengths, obviously, in different areas, and my weakness was definitely, you know, the seating and mobility, and so I would kind of seek out those opportunities or educational classes just specifically on those areas that I felt that I was the weakest in. I think, I mean, is there any other questions or areas? The website is very helpful. One of I don't know if it's a study technique or not, but I contacted some physical therapists and occupational therapists within my town, my community, and just kind of sat with them that were also certified as ATPs. And I don't know, just kind of shadowed them, listened. Some of them had some manuals and things that they did that they used for their certification. And so just kind of gleaning their tips and techniques and study guides that they used that weren't, you know, something promoted online, but it was helpful to me and some of the workshops that they had attended.
I know sometimes folk will purchase the Fundamentals of Assistive Technology book and the Principles and Practices of Assistive Technology, which is a textbook.
Mm-hmm.
And they will have those. I know that for the Fundamentals course, there's a huge outline that we now provide that, you know, now that people get, when, you know, they take the course, they get that outline. And so, you know, for some people, they find that outline to be pretty helpful. And, you know, the other resources that we do provide on the website, you know, we're not endorsing them, but we're just making them available to folk so that they, you know, take advantage of some other opportunities that are out there. As ResNA brings on board the new person to take over certification, we're expanding that position to also include, education as well. And so we hope to be developing more, courses and not necessarily geared toward the certification, but I'm sure they would be helpful. We plan to, put courses online. We've in the past have, you know, recorded some of our conference sessions, but just have not had the staff to pay attention to getting those up on our website. We are also going to get the fundamentals course online. And Sandra, as you said, you know, being able to take that at your leisure, whether it's at night or whenever, just running through that fundamentals course online. And again, you know, I'm not sure how long it will take us to get there, but we did we had recorded that course down in, I think it was in Atlanta 1 year. It may have been like 2010. But we, you know, it was something that we probably didn't we rushed into, and so some of the quality was lost. And so working with our education committee, they just decided that maybe, you know, we would want to take a look at it again and really set it up so that you can, you know, take individual modules or, you know, just run through the whole course. And, you know, with that, it requires some structure, more structure than we probably had for that course. And so now that we have new requirements from our CEU provider, there are some things that we really have to pay attention to in doing that. So, but those are some things that we have in the works, and hopefully, you know, they will contribute toward people being able to get, you know, some orientation, overview of assistive technology to help, you know, them as they study for the certification exam.
Very good. That would be helpful. Cook and Hesse's Assistive Technologies, Principles in Practice,
mm-hmm.
Is a helpful textbook
mm-hmm.
As well. And kind of summing all of that up, and really with my learning style, I liked the online course, and I liked the fundamentals class, and I liked the flashcards, and just kind of a different, trying to get it from a variety of different resources and formats, and it was helpful to me. Kind of gave a good overview.
Andrew, how do you feel that the ATP certification has impacted your work with AgriBuildi? And I'm trying not to be biased with my question, but
no,
do you
feel
like you can do a better job with assessments now, or?
Well, and it was interesting because I was asked the other day, you know, it was like, oh, congratulations. I'm like, well, thank you. And they said, well, what's going to change? What's different? And I said, well, you know, I thought I was a professional before, but I'm going to still try to be professional. But something that really, really, I think it's having the credibility that a credential provides. And even if it's just the initials, you know, the ATP, that says you've studied, you've spent time in the field, there's the array of requirements and standards that you've met or exceed. So absolutely, I think it has positively impacted it just adds credibility. I mean, there's some professionalism level. I mean, it's kind of an understood. You've studied, you've done your work.
Okay.
Did that answer your question in a long way?
It does. I was just, I guess a follow-up question I have is, with the assistive technology within the curriculum, did you like learn about AT in different aspects of profession, you know, in different industries, and was it specific, or is it still kind of like collective knowledge about AT within your field of work? For us being agriculture,
are you okay? Let me make sure I understand. Are you asking if the certification covers more of a broad outside of ag?
Well, I guess what sort of things did you study?
All of it.
The AT. I mean, obviously assistive technology, but
the it's kind of the whole process, and assessments and your how you're doing your assessments of need and identifying abilities and limitations. Possible future needs, family involvement, pretty much. But like, and Mary, do you do the farm assessments now?
I'm not the primary person.
Okay, but you're familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I like to look at a very global. I like to know everything that's going on that farm, who's doing what, their goals, their priorities. Every single thing as a whole organization, like as a whole operation, not just what that one farmer is doing. And that's where I think this the ATP certification covers a very comprehensive overview of you're assessing the need and then the possible future needs and the priorities and goals and, you know, if they have accommodations now, how effective are they? It's not just fixing or providing a suggestion for one recommendation or solution. It's looking at the whole holistic, the whole picture. Then you develop those intervention strategies and Is there training and supports needed? And then the implementation of those interventions once it's funded. And then you evaluate it. Did it work? Is there something that we could have done differently or better? Your professional conduct, I think is a given. I mean, that's expected.
Okay.
Did that answer your question?
It does. I don't know if I've always just missed the boat on what, topics and materials someone would study for the certificate,
uh-huh.
the certification, or if I just needed some clarification.
Spend some time. Go to the ResNetWorks website, and even, I kind of played around on the online courses. You can even kind of look at what their topics and areas and content are before you purchase them.
This is Nell. There's some things on the website, the candidates information bulletin. It sort of gives you the structure of how questions are going to be asked on the exam. I've never taken it, but it is a broad overview of all areas of assistive technology, and I really don't know how much or if at all they really talk about agribility providing technology for farmers and ranchers, or if any of that is there. But I think that there probably are some similar kinds of applications, but I think that there is even a practice exam that you can take.
Mm-hmm.
It is offered by ProMetrics. It is on their website, and they offer that. And there is a cost, and you can take that exam, and so they will give you the results of how well you did in those categories.
Okay.
The cost used to be $75.
It is. It still is. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so if you wanted to expend the money to try something like that, then you could do that. I guess it's kind of you're knowing a little bit about kind of everything, but not really a lot about anything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And one thing, Mary, it doesn't necessarily say, okay, Farmer Joe, at this age, a cow-calf operation. It doesn't necessarily give those at all, really, those environments. But, you certainly know if there's a person that utilizes a wheelchair and tying down and strapped down and whether you're going to, what type of wheelchair you would recommend, those instances and examples would be pretty much across the board. If they can't get in their house, it doesn't matter if the house is in town, out of town, on the farm. And connecting those are real easy. I think it's an easy link to do it. I still, I just got certified, but I will still, I don't think I'm done learning. I've got plenty more to learn and to continue. And with the seating and mobility, I'm certainly, I don't think I have enough time or, time in the saddle to, no pun intended, to be that person who says, oh, yes, we need this exact wheelchair right here. I'm going to do my homework, and I'm going to bring in those experts that that do have that SMS to the team. Bring your expertise to the team and share with us.
I think one of the things, other things that the ResNet certification offers is the bit about not doing any harm, do
mm-hmm.
no harm, and that's first and foremost. Because the exam was sort of put in place to provide, the sort of the quality assurance and, consumer protections. And so the do no harm is, pretty important. And, you do sign off on the, once you have your exam or, apply to take the exam, you're also agreeing to the ResNet Code of Ethics and Standards of Practice.
Right.
And then there is some recourse, for example, if you have your certification, if there are some things that, you're not doing correctly and somebody would like to complain about those, there's a process that ResNet has that those complaints can come in and those are reviewed by a complaints review committee. and they make decisions about, you know, the different, you know, complaints that they receive.
I think the code of ethics really has been beneficial for. I've had my ATP for about 6 years, and the whole process of, you know, harm and to ensure that seating and positioning and mobility certainly is an issue that I don't work with, and we really need to know when to hold them and when to fold them, and that's really helped, and it's really helped be able to talk to people about that. Yes, I know enough to be dangerous about this, but we really need to find someone that, especially in the seating and positioning, is just, that blew me away the first time I took it. I took it twice. The first time, all the seating and positioning on early blew me away, and I thought, oh, man. I ended up going to specialty healthcare in Minneapolis for a couple of days and worked with their seating and positioning people and their fabrication. We learned a lot about seating and positioning, and they really helped me a lot for the next time I took the test. But we can't know everything, and AT is certainly a lifelong learning experience that people weren't born AT people. They learn every day something new. So eligibility has been a real nice change from working with the assessments in schools and all that. Just one other quick thing on when you asked about what is the ATP meant as far as having a certification for eligibility, it's helped a lot with rehabilitation services and with some of the state agencies that if you want to be able to stuff, sometimes they're requiring now an ATP to be in place. So I think it's been very helpful for me in my.
I agree with that. We work closely with our Department of Rehab Services, and there's again that credibility of the certification, you know, kind of having that and bringing it to the table, as would other funding sources.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mary, I think I will have the I took the test in the old days. When sat down with a book, and I have the binder from the fundamentals course, and then I have the Cook and Hussey textbook. Now, you don't want to be tired when you start reading it, but where I got a lot of my seeing and mobility and so forth out of it.
Very good. Thank you.
I think it's also we need to keep in mind that keeping the certification up requires continuing education credits also.
Correct.
And that a lot of that can be done at the annual conference. And then there is journals coming out with membership that has some quizzes that you can submit for credits also.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Very good.
Another thing I might bring up, just the way I'm looking at this, that the ATP is the door to get in, and they're developing specialties under that. The seating mobility is one. I think, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to do something with rehab engineering technology
mm-hmm.
certification. And I know... I've been contacted on a home modification specialty underneath it also. So there's several different things in the works.
Very good. Anything, Steve, that we haven't covered?
Let me Ineta Fluharty made the comment to me when we were talking about, you know, what has the certification done, and she had done farm assessments and submitted the reports to Voc Rehab for quite a while, and whenever she submitted the report, they passed it on to somebody else, a rehab engineer, to review it and so forth. Once she had her certification, they no longer sent it to somebody else to review.
Oh, very good.
She was then, I guess you would say, she was an authority.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't submitted for review to somebody else. So, and I think that is a big deal. I haven't seen quite that much difference, but you know, we become authorities just through the credentialing. Any other questions?
Don't let your certification lapse, so you have to take the test again.
That's true.
Are you speaking from personal experience?
even if it's one day.
No, I won't let it lapse because I don't want to take the test again.
Right.
Right. You can do
it. Are there any components of the National Training Workshop that would add CEUs?
We do not this year. We have explored that, and to go through that process just was too time-consuming at this time. But we definitely looked at it.
This is Sandra, but I think that would be something that would be very helpful in future years.
Well, you wouldn't have to worry about renewing. You'd get those CEUs, or at least a portion of them, every time you went there. It'd just be a good marriage, it seems.
Right. Well, part of the requirement is for the speakers to have their objectives submitted to us, you know, in time to get it submitted to the review committee. And I got a phone call about 3 minutes before this call was to start, one of our speakers saying, "I appreciate you writing the overview for the session. What do you want?" You know, that can't happen.
Right.
We're going to do the CEUs.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I know for ResNA, what we have, as I mentioned earlier, with the IASET, that's the International Association of Continuing Education and Training, we had just gone through a renewal application with them, and it's a 5-year process. And this time around, when we got ready to submit our application, there were a whole bunch of new rules and requirements in place. So we are having to rethink, you know, and come up with new processes and procedures for our presenters, even at the ResNA conference. And the fundamentals course, and what it requires is, yes, you have to have your learning objectives, and then you have to have a way of assessing whether or not the participants, you know, or if you met those learning objectives. And you instructors need to be able to provide feedback to the learners. And so, you know, that could, we were trying to figure out what does that mean. You know, for our fundamentals course, we were thinking, okay, well, we're going to give them short quizzes to assess, you know, comprehension, and that works fine. But, you know, that is, you know, looking at those quizzes, but you need to be able to give them feedback right there on the spot. You know, now ResNA will not be able to, in the future, provide CEUs ISAT CEUs to a third-party organization. You know, we were doing that before, but we can still provide RESNA CEUs. They won't be ISAT CEUs, but they will be RESNA CEUs. And we will, you know, require pretty much the same thing. We were a little bit, you know, confounded when we were thinking about the conference and how do you provide an assessment, assessment during conference sessions. They're 75 minutes long, but now we've been able to work it in there. And we had some assistance from our chairs and co-chair of our education committee. And what they suggested was that, some short questions, before the end of the session, let them respond to those questions. You take them up, and then you just, kind of see how people responded and then have a short discussion, interaction with people in the course. And that's, you know, will serve as kind of like a gauge of what they've learned and what they did learn. So, things have changed, but, you know, for those conferences and courses that you attend that do not provide CEUs, you can always use those as continuing education, your contact hours. And, for recertification, you can have a combination of CEUs and contact hours.
That was my next question. It is under one of your eligibility requirements, item D, it says, demonstrating participation in 30 contact hours of education in AT. Mm-hmm. And so what you're saying there, it may not be CEU certified, but you still can count that towards
right. Contact
hours.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
What would that include? What type of participation? It's just so broad.
Anything AT related. For example, if you're going to the National AgriAbility Conference and, talking AT, now, depending on how many sessions you go to, if they give you a certificate saying that, you know, you attended it, if it was, you know, 2 days and those days were 7 hours each or whatever, then that's, you know, 2 days at 7 hours, that would be 14. So you would get 14 contact hours. But you would have to have some kind of, you know, evidence that you attended the AgriAbility National Conference and these were the times that you were there. You know, usually it's just a certificate. Like if you go to the ATIA conference, I think everybody who's registered gets a certificate in their packet, and you can just, you know, basically fill it in with, your hours.
That answers my question. Thank you.
We'll take a look at that real quick, John, and see if we might be able to do something for that.
That would be helpful, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very good.
Anybody else?
How many other AT conferences do you know that provide CEUs that are accredited for RESNA? I know Closing the Gap in Minnesota, I've been able to get CEUs there for keeping up my certification every year.
CSUN, the CSUN conference. Now, ATIA, they're providing the CEUs that they provide there, and I think they're going through ASHA to provide CEUs, and those, you know, would qualify for RESNA. Of course, the RESNA conference, the ISS symposium, the International Seeding Symposium.
Okay.
There are some courses that are being given by some vendors like VGM and I think Invacare. Now they're also providing their own ISAT CEUs.
Okay.
There might be some others, but, you know, I'm not thinking of them right now. But those are, you know, some of the major conferences that I know about.
Most of the late conferences have, right? Do you think most of the major ones across the country, the assistive technology conferences, are most of those with RESNA certification too? You know, I think those are the main ones anyway.
Yeah, I think, pretty much for, you know, the Closing the Gap, the ATIA, the CSUN, you know, those are pretty pretty large. And then, you know, AOTA or, you know, APTA, they would provide their own. And if it's, you know, related to assistive technology, you know, of course, those would be accepted by RESNA.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think, you know, it is something that, you know, we are, you know, we want to stress the quality of the training and education that people are getting. And so we want to make sure that, you know, if we can look at and know that those organizations are providing, you know, quality, you know, training and programs. And, you know, sometimes there's a fine line, and then it has to be decided whether or not, like, product demonstrations, because sometimes when you go to vendor demonstrations, it can be a training and it can be just a demonstration. And sometimes that's a tricky area.
Also on the website, under recertification, it has resources for CEUs.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the conferences, that the resin training and then ATS training, the Center for AT and Environmental Access, there's the Mobility, Med Group University, and the journals that Steve had mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a few opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good discussion. Any other questions, comments?
The AT listserv that was mentioned early on, can that be accessed through the RESNA website? I guess I haven't looked for it on there, but that AT group that's got the members as well as non-members, you said there's a listserv?
Yes, there is. It's called the AT Forum. And I think if you go under the membership area of the RESNA website, you should be able to see it and subscribe from there.
Okay. Can I do that? Thanks.
Well, I think we've, unless there's somebody else has a question.
Thank you all. I appreciate it.
And I will be at the National Workshop, and we will be having a AT Community of Interest get-together for breakfast on that Tuesday morning, and we'll do a planning session for the next year. So we look for you to come and provide some input on what you'd like to see us do, what you'd like to see us quit doing, and so forth. So thank you, Sandra, for your input. Nell, thank you again.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your support for the project, and we look to continue getting other staff members certified. I think we've heard where it's the importance of it is significant.
Mm-hmm.
So we thank you for that.
Certainly.
So,
thank you, thank you. We'll see most of you guys next month.
That's right, Indianapolis.
Yeah, thanks again, Nell.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, everybody,
you
and we'll
safe.
See you in
Indy.
Bye-bye.
Bye.